Achieving the highest level of performance is a critical path to success for leaders, teams, and businesses. It's more than a mindset, it's a skill set. Arizona Coaching and Consulting helps individuals, leaders, teams, and companies develop the skill set necessary to achieve enhanced levels of performance. Learn more about Arizona Coaching and Consulting capabilities, training programs, and coaching products at www.azc3.com or call 480-518-7757. Arizona Coaching and Consulting, the Performance Business Advisors.
Happy New Year here on Circles of Change. It's a pleasure, as always, to wrap up our month with a great segment with my friend and colleague in the change business, and that's Lynn Moran from Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center. How are you this morning, Lynn?
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. It's been quite a year for both of us.
Great trip.
We did, but you know, it's nothing like getting back to the sunshine here in Arizona, is it?
We do live here for a reason, don't we?
Indeed, we do, particularly. Well, for those who don't know Lynn, a quick introduction. She now has a solo practice that's really touching the boundaries, helping individuals and organizations stretch and accelerate their performance for business results. Her background actually is very rich in operations, having grown up in the international candy empire of the Mars Corporation. In fact, was president of their specialty chocolate, Ethel M. Chocolates, before deciding to go out on her own, amongst other things. So, Lynn, our thoughts about 2012 coming up.
Well, as you know, we've spent, and I said this on our last program, but just to kind of stay, you know, consistent and aligned, that we've been, spent most of the year talking about working on ourselves and our teams and gaining insight. And I was thinking a lot about it, and I thought, you know, what would be a message or a thought to send people into the new year with? And I think the key word is investment.
Mm-hmm.
And making an investment in themselves and their careers, as, you know, we all try to do. Excuse me. So I've been thinking a lot about this because as I work with senior leaders, the one area of an organization is kind of, I call it upper middle management, those who are pushing against the senior leadership ranks, who I believe really need to gain greater insight and look at personal development as an investment decision, and not just something that's nice to do. So when I'm talking to companies or to people, as I'm sure you have also, if the company provides a service, it's kind of like, great, I'll take advantage of it. But my question to the audience is, what if the company doesn't provide it for whatever reason? Does that mean that the work doesn't need to be done or shouldn't be done? And this is going to maybe sound like an unusual comparison, but it reminded me of the days long ago when I was in HR. And we had shared, or we had changed insurance providers. And one basic reimbursement for a prescription was not covered anymore. And people were very upset about it. It was a minimal cost. But, you know, finally, it wasn't me, but it was another person in the audience that looked at it and said, so, are you going to forego that treatment because the company doesn't cover it?
Right.
Or are you going to do it because you need to? And that just keeps playing in my mind as we look at leadership and leadership development, which is with the feedback and a lot of the comments that people get throughout the year about how they're doing, what they need to work on. If the company doesn't pay for it, does that mean that the work still shouldn't be done? And my response is, yes, it should. And, you know, I just did another certification, and as a business, as you know, we pay for it.
And we also know that that which has served you well up until now can go up in a blink of an eye or a flash in the pan, and suddenly you're not viewed as having the contemporary things that you need to go forward.
Exactly.
I think the other piece of it is many times company-sponsored activities, for all the right reasons, by the way, can take on a bit of a vanilla approach. In other words, to try to capture and serve as many people as possible. But yet your individual need might indeed be that part of the cake, but what about the additional layers and the icing that needs to be customized for you? And only you know that.
Absolutely. And only you can see the common threads and the common messages. And once again, I find it fascinating where, you know, if we want to save for a car or for a vacation, there's a lot of motivation. And I'm trying to get people to think about, but what about, you know, your development? What happens many times, as you know, as we're working on development, the more we can embrace the areas we need to work on and get better, when new bosses come in, it's not as traumatic, I believe, because they'll look at a skill set, and very few senior managers, and you and I have been in that position, are not going to keep or invest in people who are productive, pretty self-aware, and driving for change, both within the business and with, you know, their leadership skills to get better. So this whole investment mentality, you know, I'd like to get people to start thinking about what are they worth, and what is it that they should be doing versus, well, the company's sending me to this training, or, well, the company's providing this, or the company's providing that. And it's like, to your point, but is that the area you need to work in? There's also this piece about sometimes maybe what holds people back is they don't want to do the work inside because they feel vulnerable.
Yeah, that's tough. That's right.
And my message is there's tons of resources out there, all right, way beyond me, you. If that's the challenge, then go find a place where you're safe, where you feel like you can really do the work you need to do. And I have this conversation with HR individuals also. It has nothing to do with whether they like a person or doesn't like a person, whether they're competent or, you know, in somebody else's eyes. It has to do with a safe place.
And let's clarify that. Yeah, you bet. Let's clarify that. When you say do work inside the you meant inside the company, that really it might be in your best interest to go explore a course with people you don't even know and you may never see again. In fact, some of the best courses you can go to, you know, they've got videotaping and role playing, and that in even going there, it gives you the chance to expand your network and work with people who don't know you, who then would not question when you say, well, let me try this out. And they'll say, yeah, you can do that. Or sometimes being around the people that you know, it can be, well, don't you remember you tried that before and it didn't work? It can actually hold you back.
Exactly. Or let's face it, when you're new and you're in a company, it's exciting, it's novel, you're the new kid on the block. And over time, we develop a reputation. We develop a persona, what I call the leadership profile, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And sometimes we're all caught up in our perceptions, our beliefs, our experience. Excuse me. To your point, it's hard to fool a stranger. It is amazing how quickly somebody can grasp onto something we're saying or we're doing. Versus, you know, even within a company, well, yeah, but, you know, you're getting better at that. Or, yeah, well, but you've been working on that. Versus somebody who has no vested interest and really no history, but to me, as importantly, no future with you in the workplace, who can say, well, that seems kind of, you know, destructive. Or, you know, what's the motivation behind that? You know, what's the thinking? So that the person gets a clear view. And, you know, once again, one that's not kind of, for lack of a better term, encumbered or influenced by history.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my investment to me is, of course, I believe you should always take advantage of company programs. I believe you should always take advantage of feedback. But I believe also that to put all of your development and all of your leadership capabilities in the hands of the company takes the onus off of the individual.
It certainly does. In fact, you get an expectation then that you're waiting for someone to tell you what to do, as opposed to taking initiative and realizing the boundaries you want to cross over and explore further.
Right. And so, I absolutely. And so, once again, what keeps churning through my mind is we will spend, as individuals, leaders, or businesses, a significant amount of time planning numbers for next year, you know, wrapping up the current year, doing our plans, doing our projections. I mean, in corporations, it's an inordinate amount of time. Year-end performance evaluation. But my question is, where is the leadership plan that has as much diligence and thought as the business plan for each person?
Well, and also what you're saying, too, is that for in some situations, certainly that will be handled from a top-down approach. But actually, this is all of our own responsibility, whether we work for ourselves or we work for somewhere else, someone else, whether we're in public service or inside a for-profit company or doing nonprofit volunteer work. There's all those same elements. You know, Lynn, I think it'd be important, too, for us to go, if we sidestep for just a second, and know that personal development isn't just about taking courses, right? It could be even saying, should I trade up and be reading different types of books or magazines or listening to different type of programs, like Circles of Change, of course, you can build your own curriculum that isn't necessarily something you have to write a check for, but it could be available in just how you choose to engage with other people.
Very, very fair point, and absolutely 100% right on. It's the planning. It's the thinking that goes into it. For me, that is not necessarily part of the business or leadership process. What we do as senior leaders when you're running a business is you sit in a room and you review all of your leadership team, and you get feedback, and you have comments, and people... You know, very often at senior levels have insight or experience working with somebody, and give very valuable feedback. What happens, though, is out of that meeting, in the challenge of everyday work and business pressures, it gets filtered.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so it comes to the person with the best of intentions. But it's kind of right or wrong. All right, we've done the review process. We've done the succession planning process. We've done the process. And so people are sitting there, and how many times have we all heard, you know, I'm not getting ahead. For some reason, I can't get that job. Or they're going outside. And it's like, well, you're missing some kind of feedback, or you're not hearing some messages.
Mm-hmm.
Because for people to say, okay, Lynn, tomorrow I want you to start doing this, it is wishful thinking on both parts. It's different if it's like, look, this is an area you really need to look into. It is an obstacle. That's the common theme coming out of the succession planning and the senior review of leaders. If you want to have time to go to some people directly and get other feedback, I, as your supervisor, will help facilitate that, because that's the way it's going to happen.
It is, in fact.
But at the end of the day, they can't always tell you exactly what they want you to do. That's your work. Yes.
Yes, it is. That's absolutely your work. And in fact, many of the supervisors, because they grew up in the organization in a different time, that what worked mm-hmm. for them may not work for you. And we all know how often job descriptions change over time. So the skills that served you well as a an accountant may not be the ones that will serve you well in the future. I mean, heaven only knows how many businesses now have shifted significantly. Look at the banking industry, for example, and now the additional certifications and licensing that people need to go after to even be qualified to participate in those careers. But, you know, it doesn't take an external forcing function. That's what you and I are talking about here today. It's what should we be each internally saying, what are some areas of growth that I want to invest in for myself and put some skin in the game? Whether that mean the money you invest, or probably for a lot of it, it's the time that you cordon off so you can go do that. Right, Lynn? I mean, a lot of this is really time dependent.
Right, and it could be an investment of time, energy, or it could be an investment of money.
Mm-hmm.
But my question to the audience is, what is your vested interest in your career and your leadership skills? Because at some point, you have to look at it like an investment. I can't tell you the number of conversations that I have with people, once again, are in middle or upper middle management, who are high potential, who say, well, the company doesn't provide this at my level. And I always look at them, and as you know, my favorite question is, so what are you going to do about that?
Yeah, what are you going to do about that? Exactly. Well, the other
right,
piece of it is sometimes...
Not just the need.
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the other piece of it is sometimes the best learning you can get, in fact, we mentioned this in the previous segment, is not an either or, but an and. In other words, what are you doing in your 5 to 9 life, in your weekend time, that could get sculpted in a way to help you expand some of your leadership capability, whether it be how you work in volunteer communities, you know, at your church or in your neighborhood, even how you might choose to tutor or work with the elderly. Those all have components of leadership training that can then circle back and assist you in the workforce.
Absolutely, and it pushes back against our comfort areas, too.
Right. And, you know, in some regard, back to your other point, though, those are sometimes really actually safe environments to go test some of those things out, right?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly part of the investment. The reason I like the leadership investment plan is that people... so that people actually are intentional about doing it, which is saying, you know what, I have high control needs, but volunteering is going to force me to be in a position where that's going to push against my need because I'm not going to be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a high need for this, or I'm getting feedback around this. I need to get into places where I can try to tap into or better temper some of those tendencies. And I need a place to go where... people don't have a vested interest in me other than as a person. All right. So, you know, one thing that works for external consultants is that we don't have the skin in the game that says, excuse me, well, when we go back to work, you and I are competing, Zara. So I have to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's, I'm not looking to get the next promotion in the company. Well, a leadership investment strategy goes the same way, which is, where can I go and push against the things that I know I'm getting feedback on or that I'm hiding pretty well, but at a cost? Because that's the other thing that goes on a lot, which is, you're not seeing the real me. I'm kind of managing this as best I can. And then people get into a higher level where they're managing a lot of individuals, and you'll hear leadership going, well, where did that come from? You know, we never saw the person that way.
Yeah,
well,
that's right.
I believe somewhere along the line somebody did.
Mm-hmm. And then they didn't know how to cope with giving that feedback to the person.
Correct. So what happens?
Right.
People don't like conflict.
Exactly. Well, Lynn, I'm sure we've got listeners here that are saying, okay, this is all fine and good. Hear you out, Lynn and Zara. But I'm not so sure what I should put on my own self-sculpted curriculum. What would your advice be to that?
I believe at the end of the day, we all know ourselves better than anyone, and that we've gotten a lot of helpful information and feedback. And the point is to sit down and be honest with yourself and say, you know what, I have to work on patience. Now, if that's an area, and you should never have more than 2-3 at the most, because you won't get change. It's not aspirational. This is what I want to do. It takes work. And it takes investment of your time, energy, and sometimes your pocketbook. But to identify 2 key areas and be honest with yourself and then put the plan together to work on them, to try to make a shift, either to leverage a strength, because it's not always negative, or, you know, I believe I have these, but people aren't seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to leverage that because you're hearing it's good. Or I want to temper some of these so they don't derail me. But at the end of the day, we fight against what we're being told at times or what we don't like about ourselves. It's just have an honest look, put together a plan, and as you would a customer, a production, whatever the plan is, you execute it.
I think what we'd all... Get somebody to help. Now, whether that be a coach or a set of resources, or it could be people that would routinely see you in action so they can give you feedback. Another approach might be that if you see a strength you would really like to embody, is to identify someone else who does that well and ask them for guidance or feedback, but also, so how was it you learned to do this? For example, let's say public speaking is something that you know is holding you back, that you just cannot give that presentation in front of customers or in front of your peers or colleagues. So what could be the different choices of how to go about improving that skill and that mindset of being comfortable in doing that? And that could be a blend of an external course with a group of people you may never see again, as well as, you know, Joe, you do great at presentations. Would you mind at all if I would slide into some of your meetings and watch you present? Or would you come and listen to me while I present or dress rehearse me in a way that could help coach me?
Sure. Absolutely. But to me, that's an intentional action.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's something where I said, I am going to go align, let's say in this case with Zara, and I'm going to pick her brain. I'm going to ask her as a resource. That's part of my plan. The plan isn't, and, you know, I'm going to go do this. It's what you and I talked about last time. It's that, or, you know, that leadership, developing your brand, having attributes, clear-cut words that you want to have assigned to you as a leader, and then figuring out, where do I get the resources? How do I make this investment in my leadership capabilities or my effectiveness at work by being very intentional? I mean, I'd like to see people actually check off things as they do. Hey, we met that business objective. Mm-hmm. Hey, we've taken the productivity level of the plants up to here. And get out of the, well, that boss doesn't like me, or, well, we're just not the same, or we see the world differently. My feedback would be, that's who you want to work with. Because the person who doesn't see it the way you do may be able to give you some of the clearest feedback.
Absolutely. I think the other piece of this, Lynn, we said this is 2012, a year of investment. Realize this is in anticipation of a new future, and it may not be just 1 year bounded, right? Some of these challenges take multiple years of focus, and maybe going from, you know, step one to step two to step five over a period of years to strengthen a capability that you have. But so long as we do it with a focus on learning about ourselves as opposed to judging, I think we talk about that, so important to stay on track.
Absolutely. That's why I like attributes. I like words that are positive, that people can align behind. Because let's say if I'm too judgmental, then I'm not going to put that as an objective. I'm going to put down more open.
Exactly.
I want people to see me as more open and embracing new ideas, so that we get out of the mindset that says what isn't, and instead take the feedback that say what can be. And I'm just looking at 2012 as, have you thought about starting this process? You're right, it's lifelong. But how about putting kind of like that line in the sand that says, but starting in 2012, I'm going to work. I'm going to work on myself. I'm going to have a plan. I'm going to start really putting these attributes around myself that I want to have assigned to me.
You bet. And another way to really then give it the compunction to really happen is then go share it with someone. And in other words, first by writing it down, that has an element of making it very real. But then when you share it with someone and then lean on others to support you in the process, it helps really bring it to fruition.
You know, yeah. I mean, a lot of times people go, why do we write these plans? Because people don't read them. I always felt that's not the issue. The opportunity is when you write it down and you put clarity around it, it has a 75% greater chance of being achieved. It's the thought process that sets the tone and sets the direction. And I believe for people in business, because leadership happens at all levels,
mm-hmm, right,
that you have to be intentional about looking internally and not just externally.
Very well said.
If you want to make those step changes.
You bet. Well, Lynn Moran, making 2012 a year of investment in yourself and your career. Our listeners can learn more about Lynn's work at her website, www.azc3.com. We'll look forward to catching up with you then at the close of January. Lynn, thank you so much for contributing to our show today.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year indeed.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays 10 to noon right here on 104.1 The Truth for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.